America. I'm not ashamed of America. I'm kind of on a soapbox right now. It's okay. I'm not ashamed of our country. I'm not ashamed of the USA. And every country in the world has a checkered past. But that doesn't mean that you have to just drag yourself and drag your nation through the mud the rest of their destiny. And so we have a bright future and a bright hope. And America is still an amazing country that God's hand is upon. And I'm happy to celebrate it. Come on. So, that being said, why don't you close your eyes with me. Let's pray. I have a message today. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're already moving, God. Thank you for the worship in this house that's prepared the atmosphere, that has brought the presence of God in a tangible way. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And we just pray right now, God, for your peace that passes all understanding, for your love to set us free. God, perfect love casts out fear. And any person that is dealing with a spirit of fear, I pray, God, baptize them in love. Baptize them in love today. Baptize them in love, that all fear would be destroyed. We love you. We worship you. We honor you with all of our heart. And we just pray your anointing on this message. We ask, God, that you would just speak to us and speak to me. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So I have a message I want to share. And over the next couple weeks. And I want to title this, Adding Joy to the Journey. Say, adding joy to the journey. I think joy is something that we need in our life right now. I think joy is something that we need to begin to press into in this season of America, in this season of our church. It's something that we need in a tangible way. And I have some good news. You can have it. You can have it. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is powerful. I love, I'll just read you a couple verses in the Bible. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Look at your neighbor and say, here's some oil of joy for your mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Come on, the oil of joy. I love that. Isaiah 55 says in verse 12, for you shall go out with joy. Say, go out with joy. It doesn't say we're going to go out with fear and go out with sadness and go out with unbelief and sickness. It says we're going to go out with joy. Come on now. And you're going to be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. Come on, this is like Dora the Explorer. Like, the mountains are talking to you. Sorry, I got little kids. The mountains shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Come on, somebody. There's something so powerful about joy. Joy is, as you know, it's a fruit of the Spirit. But joy is much more than just a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a weapon of warfare. Come on, say, joy is my weapon. Joy is supernatural. It's a supernatural force. I'm speaking to somebody. It's a supernatural force. Joy is my inheritance, and it's your inheritance. Unbelief and doubt and sickness and sadness is not your inheritance. The joy of the Lord is your inheritance. Come on. And all these things are true. And I want to talk about all these things over the next couple weeks. But the thing that kind of was sticking out to me as I was praying over this and thinking about joy in my life and thinking about joy in the seasons of my life and all the seasons that I've been in, I'm realizing more and more that joy is also a choice. Say, joy is a choice. And so how do we choose joy? How do I choose joy? And how do I cultivate joy in my life? You know, because we talk about joy being a fruit of the Spirit, and you're like, well, that's great. I don't know how to get that fruit in my life. How do we cultivate joy? How do we choose joy? I want to give you a couple scriptures, and I want to talk about something that maybe you haven't thought of before. We're going to start in Ecclesiastes 8:15. And I want to read from the New Living Translation. And so you could just follow along with me, unless you have that translation. It says, listen to this, verse 15. So I recommend having fun. Oh, come on, somebody. I am setting you free today. The Bible says, I recommend that you have fun. Because there is nothing better for people in the world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work that God gives them under the sun. That's really good. And so I have found one of the ways that you can choose to step, a practical way that you can step into joy is to make this decision, to make this choice, to choose to have fun. That's base level. This is base level joy. This is get in the game. But many times we don't choose joy because we're so stressed out. We're so uptight. We're so wound tight. We're stressed about finances. We're stressed about our country. We're stressed about relationships. We're stressed about this and this and this. And the Bible says, I recommend, 8 verse 15, I recommend having some fun. Amen. Let's go. Come on, people. So I want to talk about this because this is truly a very practical way to step into joy is by having fun. I'm blessing somebody. Fun, number one, fun is intentional. Say intentional. Intentional. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, you can be in school, in high school, there's like kids are making fun of each other. And so I'm not talking about fun happening to you. I'm talking about fun happening through you. Yeah. And the way that fun happens through you is when we begin to get intentional. And I have to get intentional with my kids. I have to get intentional with moments that I want to carve out moments. I want to carve out space to create a moment with them, a special moment with them that's going to be fun, that's going to bring peace and joy into their little hearts. And that it takes intentionality. Amen. It's planning to make these special moments. And you know, when you choose to have fun, it begins to change and transform all the lives and the relationships around us. It begins to transform your marriage. Hallelujah. A fun marriage and two individuals that are choosing to have fun and choosing to have a fun mindset, it will transform the marriage. It'll transform the church. Oh, praise God. It'll transform the church when we are happy people and we're not just like, oh, you know, everything's so bad. Everything, I'm down in the dumps. But no, we know we are carrying a load, but we are carrying our load with joy. Everybody has a load to carry. But how are you carrying it? Hallelujah. And so it's this intentionality. I have to choose to be intentional. And my marriage will get better. My family will get better. Our church will get better. And so it's carving these moments. It's planning. But it's also more than just planning. It's about a mindset. It's about a mindset. And so I can go into any situation and I could be frustrated. You know, I remember leaving Children's Hospital. I've shared this before. And it was just a really long day. And you know, Gia was exhausted and she's crying in the back seat. And we're coming from L.A. to Bishop and lots of crying. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, will the crying stop? Will the screaming stop? And it just kind of grades on you after about 2 hours. Any parents can agree? 1 hour. After about 10 minutes. And Heather's like, well, hey, let's just be grateful that we have a daughter. Because it could have gone a different direction. And it's a mindset that you come into every situation with. We don't have to come to church. We get to come to church. I don't have to go on a date with my wife. I get to go on a date with my wife. And I'm going to choose to be happy about it. And so we come into the situations, we come into every environment with a happy heart. I'm preaching better than you're responding. I love this. You know, it's like a lot of people, and maybe I know I've done this in the past, and you know, there's things that have to be done in the body of Christ, in the family, in the church, and there's things that we have to serve the house of God, and sometimes we can do these things begrudgingly, right? And we're like, well, I guess because it has to be done, there's nobody else. But no, that's the wrong mindset. I remember Gabe Ahn was here one time, and he said, we need a new, not just wineskin, we need a new mindskin. Amen. We need to think differently and approach life differently and approach serving differently, approach our family and church and everything differently, and choose fun. Isn't that a good word? So be intentional. Having fun doesn't just happen. You have to be intentional. And oh, come on, bro.
I'm not going to go into details because they're not that important. But I am a very broken person right now. And this is so timely. I have been through a lot, not just war, not just life. I've been through a lot. I'm 41 years old. I have a 20-year-old daughter. I've been married and divorced. I've been through a lot. And the situation that I'm in right now that happened about a week and a half ago, I was sitting in the food truck and I had a decision to make. And I was confused. It literally felt like a little tiny rowboat in the ocean just being tossed around by these massive waves. I've looked death in the face. I've stared fear in the face. I've watched some of my best friends die. I've been there and done it. I've OD'd on drugs and alcohol. So there's nothing anyone sitting in this building can tell me that I haven't already done or seen. But I was sitting in the food truck and I was holding my heart in my hands, and I said, man, I have a choice. I can choose right now to just say, forget it all, go close everything down, take $500 and just go get drunk and just not care. Or I can choose to hold on to my heart and hold on to Jesus and worship him. And as I was thinking about that, this whole scenario came to my head, and it's so timely that Pastor Mike is talking about joy. Jesus went to the cross. He came to this earth from being a boy to a teenager to a man. And in his 33 years, you better believe he understood what his mission was. He knew there was a plan in heaven that he had discussed with his Father, and he knew the end game. He knew what he was coming here for. And the verse in the Bible that gripped me said that he went to the cross with joy in his heart, not despising the mission. You guys have to understand the depth of what Pastor Mike is talking about. The mindset is, you can't, despising the mission means there's fear. Looking and facing your own death means you're afraid. You're afraid to die. You're afraid to give up your belongings. You're afraid to lose your relationship because of the fear of the unknown of what's going to happen after that. But to believe that is not what Jesus did going to the cross. What he did was, I will face my own death, knowing the agony and the despair and the pain and the brutality of what he did and his sacrifice. He did that with a smile in his heart for us. Amen. Saying, I will give everything. He even gave up his relationship with his Father. It says the day when he gave his last breath that God himself turned his back on his Son. He gave up the most precious relationship he had for us. And he did it with joy in his heart. That is what this looks like. That is what Pastor is talking about. That mindset is that where I am standing right now, and the pain and the hurt and the anger and the frustration that I am facing, and I don't know the outcome, but I will face it with joy in my heart and praising God in it. Because I have no other choice. What's the other choice? What's the other choice that I give into the world and I give into sin and I give into my anger and my fear? And then what? I'm still in the same place when I come out the other side, only worse. Now there's more compound. Now there's more baggage and burden that I have to deal with. Why? He paid for it. So I just want to declare in this house right now, I've literally spent the last week and a half, and all I can do is worship him. All I can do is thank him. All I can do is say, it's yours. You can have it all, God, because he's bigger. He's bigger than your fear. He's bigger than your pain. He's bigger than your anger. He's bigger than your relationships. He's bigger than your situation. He's bigger than the world. He's bigger than the government. He's bigger than all of it. He's power. He holds the universe. I was just reading this, that there's scientists who are discovering gas clouds and this stuff way, way, way past our universe out in space. Evolution scientists that are looking at this stuff in creation, and they're now saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. The only way that that can be there is that somebody put it there. With our theory, there's no way that can exist, but we're looking at it. So the only way that it could be there is like if an artist painted that and put it there. So there's these evolutionists that have been holding on to their theory for 80, 90 years saying, no, this is the way that it is. And now they're discovering the stuff in space saying, well, what if we're totally wrong and there really is somebody out there who's put this all together? Think about it, guys. God, in his infinite wisdom, right? Ecclesiastes. He recommends we have fun. Jesus came to this planet. We know where we're going, guys. Don't forget the end game. Don't look. It's the same mindset of Peter and the disciples in the boat being fishermen, knowing their scenario. They did this for a living. This storm comes up, and they very well knew we're going to die. This is our livelihood. We do this all the time. This storm is going to kill us. And they're all freaking out. And they're all staring death in the face. And Peter looks over. And what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. I don't know if any of you guys have been on a boat in an ocean in a huge storm. You don't sleep. I've done it with him. You try to sleep. And then you get bounced out of the bed. And you wake up when you hit the floor. You don't sleep. But Jesus was sleeping. And Peter wakes him up. And he's like, What are you doing? We're going to die. Do you not see what's happening? And Jesus' response is so amazing that he looks at the storm and he looks at Peter, and it's not a shame on you, Peter. It's a, you don't understand who's in the boat with you. And you don't understand that I said we were going from here to there and that I have a place to be. This storm has no power to stop me from where I'm going. Jesus knew the end game. Peter only saw the storm. And what's Jesus' response? Peter, you don't have enough faith to realize where the end game is. And then he shows his power by standing there and says, "Peace be still." I could imagine he didn't even scream it. He literally probably just stood at the side of the boat and was just like, "Stop." And immediately it stopped. You have to believe in that moment, everybody on that boat was just like, "Whoa. Who is this? Where our concept of who we think he is has totally just changed. That's who he is for us right now." You have the ability, instead of looking at the storm around you, look at who's in the boat with you and say, "What is he doing? He's at peace. He's at rest. I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to be at rest." He's going to his death with joy in his heart. I'm going to my death with joy in my heart. I'm facing this situation with joy in my heart because I know that 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 he is big enough that on the other side there's resurrection. On the other side, like Job, there's double portion. On the other side, there's grace. So I right now, in Jesus' name, declare that over Church on the Mountain. I declare that over Crowley. I declare that over Mammoth. I declare that over California. And we declare it over the USA. I fought and I bled and I watched my friends die for this country, God. And we declare that over our nation. We declare that over our president. We declare that over COVID. We declare that over the world right now, God. That the world would wake up and see joy in their hearts, God, that there would be an everlasting joy that would just begin to consume us, that no matter what the situation looks like, we go joyfully, knowing there's an end game, knowing, God, you hold us in the palm of your hand, knowing that you want nothing but the best for us. The Bible is full of it. You are such a good Father. You give us only good gifts. You're here for us. Jesus died for us. So that we can live, knowing that we will go one day and stand at the gates, worshiping you, coming joyfully saying, oh, we made it here. This was the end game, was to worship you, was to see you in your glory. I declare that in this place, God. And we say right now in Jesus' name, any shame, any fear, any worries, any pain, any anger, any frustration, any storms that we are facing, we say, peace, be still. God is a God of peace. He is a God of restoration. He is a God of love and joy and grace and mercy. And we say mercy triumphs over judgment. And we speak peace to the storms through this land, God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That's so good. Well, we just released, come on, that was a holy interruption. We just released the oil of gladness over our brother right now. Father, we thank you that the joy of the Lord is his strength. Father, we thank you that joy is his portion. And we just thank you, God, let the oil of the Lord drip from his head to his feet over his heart. Father, we thank you that you're protecting him. You're insulating him. You're setting him free in Jesus' name. We thank you for this man of God. We thank you for the message that you're putting in his heart. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Quickly.
I feel in my heart that the Lord has prepared a path for you. And right now, the success in your life is going to be tripled, beyond what you think. And you know what? There's always a storm before the victory. And I just say, you have a victory. And not only do you have a victory, but you're going to have a victory that you've always wanted. And you're going to be so happy. And you're going to be so full of joy. I'm going to tell you, peace be still in your heart right now. And it is. Right now, it's just filling your heart. And you are going to see such amazing hand of God on your life that you're going to be able to tell people how to be successful. Yeah. That's what's going to be your testimony, is success. You remember what God said to Joshua? He says, meditate on these words day and night.
Yeah.
And fear not, So you will have success in the land. Yeah. Success is coming, brother, in Jesus' name.
So good. Come on. We love you, Justin. You're awesome. And you're a preacher. You got it. You got the anointing's on you, bro. Hallelujah. Thank you for joy, the oil of gladness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this time and this hour. We choose. Say, choose fun. So having fun, like I said, to remind you, having fun is intentional. And number two, I'm going to roll through these. Number two, the second thing is fun. Having fun isn't just about being intentional. Having fun is actually spiritual. Oh, I'm setting somebody free right now. It is spiritual. I love what it says in Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit will dry the bones. A merry heart, another translation literally says, a joyful heart. A joyful heart does good like medicine. And they've actually discovered that when you are laughing and when you are having fun, your physical health is better. Your immunity is better. Your emotional health, your mental health is way better. If you are having fun, if you are enjoying life, if you are exercising, if you are laughing, you are just a better, healthier person. You are your best you when you're laughing. Look at your neighbor, just laugh a little bit. Come on. Joy and laughter is so powerful. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We need to laugh. We need to laugh. Laugh at what the devil's trying to do to you. Laugh at what the devil's trying to do to America. We just got to laugh at the situation. Come on. Joy is a weapon of warfare. Laughter is powerful. When we are going through all our stuff, and I've gone through a lot of different stuff, all of us have, but I remember just specifically, because I just was thinking about this morning, but going through chemo and all this stuff, and the thing, the revelation, again, my wife got, is we need to laugh. And we're having a hard time laughing right now. We're having a hard time finding and tapping into that joy right now, and so we're going to just put something funny on the TV. I'm going to make myself laugh because I know it's good for my heart. I know my heart is in a better place when there's a smile on my face. That's a good word right there. It sounds like it's like a bumper sticker. Come on. I heard this quote. It's so good. It's not the load that will break you down in life. It's how you choose to carry it. It's not the load that is going to break you down. It's how you choose to carry it. We all have burdens. We all have loads. We all have stuff we're walking through, going through, that's painful, that's traumatic, that's just bogging us down. But are we choosing to carry it with joy? Or are we choosing sadness and discouragement and depression? Because those are the anxiety, fear, depression, that's the fruit of the enemy's kingdom. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And it can literally be your weapon today. Oh, come on. This is good news. I got good news for Church on the Mountain. I love the book of Nehemiah. It's probably, I think every book in the Bible is my favorite book. But Nehemiah has always had a real special place in my heart. I can just read it and reread it and reread it, and it just never gets old. But I love Nehemiah chapter 8 when he's talking to the people, and he says this in verse 10. Then he says to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom have nothing. Nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, or another translation, do not grieve anymore.
for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We can't fix and we can't change anything that's happened yesterday. But you can change where you are today and you can change where you're going tomorrow. And I think some of us just need to stop crying over our mistakes. Nehemiah's like, stop it. Stop. No more crying. No more grieving over this situation. Why? Because this is holy. He said, this day is holy. We're not gonna cry anymore. Why? Because the joy of the Lord's our strength. We're going out in power. In His power, not our own power. Come on. And he said, what does he say? He says, go and eat. Eat the fat. I think, that, you know, being in Mongolia, they took that to the bank. You go to a person's house for dinner and they have all this fat on the table. And I'm like, oh, that's lovely. Like, no, eat, eat. A sheep butt right there. And you have to take out a knife, a pocket knife, and you carve a little bit off and put it on a cracker. And this is delicious. Thank you. They love to eat the fat. I mean, they love the marrow. I remember thinking I could put away some meat. Like, I've always been a good meat eater. But, you know, you go over there, and I just got put to shame. Like, they literally, like, suck everything off the bone. And I'm like, I think I'm done. And they're like, they're cracking. They soak their bone in tea for a while, and then they crack it open and suck out the marrow. And I'm like, whoa. I am not a meat eater. I guess I'm like a vegetarian compared to you. But anyway, he says, eat the fat, drink the sweet, go have some ice cream. Look at your neighbor and say, go have some ice cream. Go eat some gelato. This is, the Bible's giving you permission right now. Come on. Just not too much. Come on, have some cake. Have something. He's saying, enjoy yourself, for this day is holy. It's holy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. This is a good message right here. There's emotional benefits to being happy and laughing. It helps your immune system. And it's really, there's spiritual dynamics that go into play when we choose to just have fun. And it's not always easy because there is a lot of things to be stressed out about. And to say, no, I'm going to go for that run because I get, my heart comes alive when I'm in the mountains and I'm running, and or when I'm snowboarding, or when I'm doing that one thing. Like, something happens on the inside of me and I'm going to go after that. No matter I'm stressed out, I'm freaking out, but I'm going to have fun. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Having fun is also relational. Come on, we want to build community here. We want to build a family here. We want to see God be glorified in this house and in the Eastern Sierras. And having fun is a great way to build relationships. Friendships get stronger. We were having our men's retreat last month, and you know, I was talking to one gentleman, and he just said, hey, like, I've never really spent a whole lot of time with this one guy. But in the context of playing games and eating food and ping pong and cornhole and just talking and laughing, I really got to know him. And you know what? I kind of like him. I think he's a really cool guy. And I've never had the chance to really get to hear his heart. And so something happens when you say, I'm going to have fun. Yeah, there's a moment, there's a time where you just need to be spiritual and you just need to pray and you need to fast, you need to intercede. But there's also a time when you just need to laugh. And you need to throw some horseshoes. You need to drop a line in the river, in the lake. You need to go on the boat with Jerry. He's like, don't say that. No, you're gonna your boat's gonna be full for 2 months. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. And so our family gets stronger when we choose to have fun. Our friendships and our church gets stronger. Relationships get stronger. Unity gets stronger in the house of the Lord. When we press into this thing called joy, right? And we step into joy by stepping into fun. And we're getting like really basic, but sometimes I think you just got to take it down to an elementary level. And if the Bible says, I recommend you having fun, then I just want to teach on that, and I want to talk about that, and I want to just kind of see what really that means. But having fun, the next thing, having fun is also attractional. Say attractional. That means that it is not comparable. And, you know, our kids are drawn to fun. You know, I remember growing up, and it's like, as a kid, like, I always wanted to be at my friend's house that was the most fun. And there was many times chaos and dysfunction and fighting in my home with my parents. And so I wanted to be where there was fun. I wanted to be where they were swimming. I wanted to be where they were laughing, where they're throwing water balloons, where they're just being silly. That's where my heart longed to be. And so if two parents that choose to get over their fights and over their disagreements and say, no, we're going to just choose to make a fun atmosphere because our kids will want to be here. And it's for them. Kids get sucked into the world. They get discipled by the world because they're drawn and they're enticed by, oh, that looks fun. But what if they were like, no, that's cool, but the church is amazing. I got to get to church. Like, the church isn't just anointed and amazing and will break you free, but the church is fun. What if they start saying that about us? Yeah. Saying that about your own home and the two parents, they're like, your daughter or your son, like, no, yeah, my mom and dad have disagreements sometimes, but they are fun. They are the king and queen of fun. And I just want to bring my friends to my house because it's that much fun. Come on. And then you get to disciple these kids, these teenagers. Come on, somebody. It's a good word. Our kids will not be sucked and drawn into the world when they start seeing mom and dad having fun with a smile on their face. Praise God. You know, I think a lot of times in my life and in a lot of our lives, especially in this season of COVID and in the last 17, 18 months, I think so many are missing out on life. We're missing out on life either because we are stressed out about politics, we're stressed out about COVID, we're stressed out about masks, we're stressed out about vaccine, we're stressed out about money, we're stressed out about businesses closing, we're stressed out about everything. And we're way too serious. Look at your neighbor and say, you're too serious. Sometimes we allow life to just make us a little bit too serious. And we look like we've just bitten into a lemon. And our face looks like Mr. Bean. And God wants us to have the joy of the Lord. He wants your face to radiate with life and with joy. And Jesus actually said it in John 10:10, which is my favorite verse in the Bible, that the devil is the one that came to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life. And that life more abundantly. Not walking around with a sour face. Don't walk around with a sour Mr. Bean face. You are to walk around with the life and the power and the joy of the Lord. If Jesus said you can have it, then you can have it.
Yeah. Do the face again.
Make us laugh. Funny. So it's not going to translate well on the YouTube video. Make us laugh, funny guy. It's medieval times. You can come up on the guitar, Patrick, or the band, or whoever's coming. But this is powerful stuff. Adding joy to the journey. And like I said, joy is a fruit. Joy is a weapon. Joy is a supernatural force. Joy is our inheritance. And joy is a choice. You got to choose joy today. You have to choose joy. I love what Justin said. It's like he sat in that food truck and he had a moment where he said, I can go this way or I can go this way. And I'm choosing Jesus. I'm choosing joy. Amen. Hallelujah. I think some people in the house are going to get out your planners today and be intentional about having some fun. But on the flip side of that, I just want to say this. I think it's important, and I'll talk more about this next week. But, you know, in our culture, in our resort community culture, sometimes people can take this and just run with it, right? And just forget that there's anything else. And we're planning all these fun trips, and we're planning all these fun events, and we're planning, and we're planning, and we're fun. And we just totally are void of Jesus. And so there's a balance in life. And many times we become so rigid and we become so stressed out. And so we need to pull ourselves out of that and just allow ourselves to have a little fun. But the true joy, won't just come from experiences, but it comes from abiding. So we choose joy, we choose to have fun, but we also choose and we make a conscious decision every day to abide in Christ. And the Bible says in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. There's people in this room right now, you're very frustrated, you're discouraged, you don't know which way to go. You abide in Christ, and the Bible says, I will show you the path that you're supposed to go. Right now, there's a person in this room right now. You have about three options in front of you. And you are stressed out. You don't know which way to go. And my encouragement and my challenge to you is abide in Christ. As you abide, He highlights the road that you're supposed to be on. He says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Come on, somebody. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. That's why it's important to come to church. That's why it's important to have a prayer life. That's why it's important to jump into the Word of God. We don't want to become religious and all about these things that we have to do, but there's something so special about getting into the presence of God and getting a spirit of fear blasted off your life. And fullness of joy just flows through you. And you can see from heaven's perspective. Amen. Hallelujah. Abiding in Christ. John, the book of John, Jesus talks about this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you. We thank you for this church. We thank you, God, for every life, every heart. We thank you for what you're doing in our house. And we just choose right now. Joy. We make a conscious decision to choose joy. You said in Ecclesiastes, I recommend you have some fun. You said in Nehemiah, you need to stop grieving over what was done and you need to begin to eat some food. You need to begin to celebrate because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so God, I just pray, whoever needs this in this room, I just pray that you would strengthen their spirits, their hearts, their minds. Help them to choose joy this day. Help them to add joy to their journey, to their heart. Father, we thank you. We love you with everything that we have, Father. Come on, let's just stand up and just worship the Lord for just a few minutes.
I believe the Lord is just blessing you. He's given some of you strategy in this room on how to choose joy every day, how to choose joy in your marriage, how to choose joy in church, how to choose joy in work. You don't have to go to work. You get to go to work. The Lord has blessed you and given you an opportunity. Your hands get to make you money. Hallelujah. You get to provide. So, Father, I thank you. Give him the revelation. Ha, we got a word right here.
This is Habakkuk. I think that's how you say it. Chapter 3, verse 17. I'm sure everybody's heard this, but man, it's so true. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall not be, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me walk upon mine high places.
Hallelujah. Come on. So good. Oh. Just got to share the mic a little bit. Go, bro.
The strategy that you were just talking about that we're getting. Something that's been on my heart is how do you choose joy when you're facing situations, hard situations that you're stressing about? In my favorite book, in James, it says, consider it joy when faced with various trials. It's like, okay, that's nice to say, consider it joy. But it was told to me one time years ago that whenever we face a hard situation, it's basically saying that God trusts us to handle that situation how we should. And just that statement that God trusts us, how do you not get joy out of that? You know? So
come on, bro. It's good. It's really good. Come on, I'm house full of preachers. Jesus. Come on, just lift your hands, your eyes, your heart to Jesus. He's in this room right now. God, we just choose. We choose you. We choose to abide in you right now. And we just thank you, Lord, that fullness of joy is filling this house. Fullness of joy is filling our hearts. Fullness of joy. And everything that's tried to choke your joy and choke your faith and choke who you are as a person, we just bind it up right now in Jesus' name. And we kick it out of this house. We kick it off your life. We just say, go now in Jesus' name. Never return. And we just celebrate you, Jesus. Come on, let's just celebrate him. Let's thank him. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for what he's doing. Come on, let's add joy to our hearts today. Add joy to the journey. It doesn't matter what we walk through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, my God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Father, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Huh. Come on, we're going to dine today. We're going to feast at the Lord's table today. We're going to feast on the goodness of God today. He's a merciful God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. He's a faithful God. He sits on the throne and he laughs at what the devil's trying to do to you. He's laughing at what the enemy is trying to do to you right now. Come on. And if our God is laughing, let us laugh, God. Let us laugh with you, Jesus. Let us laugh with you at the tactics and the schemes of the enemy. Come on. Let's just sing to Jesus.
Faithful God, you are faithful. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
Sing that again. The Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and the children and the children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and the children and the children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning and the evening, in your coming and your going, weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. Amen. 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 So be it, Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. And give you peace. Let it come, Lord, your perfect peace. In our everyday, your perfect peace. peace. In our homes, oh God, your perfect peace. At our jobs, oh Lord, your perfect peace. Your way, oh God, your perfect peace. Every day, oh, your perfect peace. Thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding, God. That you are available, God, that you are here to meet us in every circumstance, that we can rest in your faithfulness. Lord, we look to you. Lead and guide us moment by moment, God. Moment by moment, we look to you. Have your way in each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for coming today. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. If you need prayer, come on up front. There'll be someone to pray with you. God bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you.